May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. In 2009, a young musician stood before the cream of the crop of the political establishment and announced he was working on a concept album, an album, he noted, of someone whose life embodied hip-hop, Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton. That artist, of course, was Lin-Manuel Miranda, then only 29 years old. You realize that? 29 years old. And the venue was the White House during one of President Obama's first famous poetry jams. That concept album became a musical, and the rest is history, as you probably well know by now. But if you travel back in time with me to that evening at the White House in 2009, if you can hear again how ridiculous that idea was, that a hip-hop album ought to be written about the founder of the National Bank, you'll understand the crowd's laughter during that first public performance. The point that Miranda was making that night was simple. Hamilton, an unlikely hero, a no-name orphan from an island in the Caribbean, established his credibility through the written word. In his writing, he had all the bravado of a performer on stage. A musical for Miranda was simply a means of bringing that to life. I couldn't help thinking of Miranda's performance that night as I read today's passage from the letter to the Philippians. Paul is pushing his rhetorical weight around here. He's making a case for himself, establishing his cred through the written word. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, he says, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. Mic drop. Or whatever the equivalent of a mic drop is in Greek. That's exactly what Paul was aiming for in that sentence. Here in this short little passage in Philippians, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, we witness the power of Paul's witness in a nutshell. That a man like him could turn his life around so radically that he would become the foremost missionary of the very people he once persecuted. That a Hebrew-born Roman citizen would throw away his citizenship in order to declare his allegiance to a murdered convict. Paul establishes his credibility precisely by denying everything that had once given him authority, putting it all on the line in order to know the sufferings of the one who called him by name on the road to Damascus. Either this guy is crazy, or he's found exactly what we're all looking for. Of course, most of us spend our time chasing the very things which Paul calls rubbish, whether it's a degree or a title, or the acceptance of those whom we look up to, or the things that mark us as accomplished or successful. We, each in our own way, want to establish our cred. Make sure that we have a place in the grand scheme of things, a reputation to uphold. You'd think we'd be better off, at least, when we're chasing after the right kind of reputation. You'd think we'd be better off when we were trying to be benevolent, helpful. But you know as well as I do that we can chase the right things for all the wrong reasons, turning our service into elaborate attempts to gain people's approval and validation. We can spend our entire lives trying to prove our worth. Some of us are very good at it, and yet Paul is on to us. Paul knows that behind our feverish efforts to get people's attention lies a big, gaping question, a question about our worth. And Paul's answer is simple. Stop trying to prove that you are worthy. You are loved regardless. Bryan Stevenson, that brilliant civil rights lawyer behind the Equal Justice Initiative, working with the least of these in the criminal justice system, puts it simply. The power of mercy, he says, is that it belongs to the undeserving. The power of mercy is that it belongs to the undeserving. The power of the gospel is that it is good news not for the deserving, the people who look like they've at least tried to earn it, but for messy, complicated people. People with average grades and unremarkable resumes. People who don't look, talk, or walk right. People who repeatedly fail to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And even, thank God, those of us who are still pretending like we did. The good news of Paul's gospel is not that an orphan can make his way to the top if he works hard enough. The good news of Paul's gospel is that you have nothing left to prove here. Your dignity, your value as a human being is not determined by anything you do. The good news of Paul's gospel is not that hard work pays off. The good news of Paul's gospel is that the work has already been accomplished, and that you, therefore, have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, the Father is running toward you with open arms. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, you are God's beloved. So stop trying to prove that you are worthy. You are loved regardless. Next week, we begin the journey to Calvary, as we do every year in Holy Week. We walk with Jesus to his death in the hope of new life, and we are called, in the words of St. Paul, to become familiar with his sufferings, to shed all those pretensions that protect us from knowing our own vulnerability, to become familiar with what it is like to occupy the place of those deemed lacking, to join our lives to that once despised Jesus, as the hymn says, is to give up the battle of proving that we are worthy. To join our lives to that once despised Jesus is to realize that we are all worthy through no credit of our own. May we go out this week, therefore, seeking the face of God in those deemed lacking, unworthy, and strange, in gratitude that we too were once strangers and that we too have received a grace beyond measure. Amen.